Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
I was looking at the Twitter feed, the trends, what was trending. And number one trending topic was Maradona. And I straight away knew he had to be dead.
Yeah.
Because there's no other reason for Maradona at this time of his life to be trending. And the man was the rock star of football. He was never going to live to an old age because, you know, he's demons, his addictions, both drug and alcohol and food that he's spoken about publicly. There are two Diego Maradonas. There is Diego and there is Maradona. Diego is the footballer, of which you will never see the like again. And everyone says, oh, but what about Lionel Messi and Cristiano Ronaldo and Johan Cruyff and Pele and so on and so on. The circumstances of Diego Maradona are just extraordinarily unique. Firstly, you have to acknowledge that he was born in abject poverty that you cannot even imagine. And they say, oh, all footballers are like, not anymore. Because the scouting network is so prolific and so profitable that kids are sometimes scouted from 5-6 years old. Lionel Messi was found, I think, when he was 10, 11.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah. So he was already in Barcelona when he was an early teenager at the La Masia Academy. Maradona's poverty, you know, he learned to play football barefooted. You know, he would play in mud baths in the back streets of Buenos Aires. Then he goes to Barcelona and get this, and he played in a different era, Glenn. So they butchered you. He was butchered on football pitches because the fouling was so much worse than it is today.
Oh, is that right?
Waist high tackles. When he was kicked off the pitch as a kid in Barcelona, he had two difficult seasons there. They said that his ankle was like hanging by a string.
What?
It was butchered, right? The story goes that when he was only in his late teens, early 20s then, he basically went to hospital on his own. Can you imagine Lionel Messi doing that today or Cristiano Ronaldo doing that today? So he grew up in abject poverty. He grew up as this symbol of national pride that transcends sport. It transcends politics. You know, the idea of it being a religious experience is a little bit sometimes overplayed. But in the case of Maradona, it is true. He has a godlike reverence in Argentina that it defies belief.
So beyond the rags to respectability story that he personifies, his style on the pitch. You know, everyone talks about the hand of God moment in the 86 World Cup and all that. Let's leave that aside for the moment. His workmanship on the field, how does that compare to some of the modern stars that we know now? The footwork, the strategy, the vision.
Okay, firstly, he was tiny. This is the thing that's in old imperial measurements, he was 5'5" tall.
Oh, okay.
So that's one point. So he was about the height of my wife, you know, 1.5, 1.6 meters around there. He was tiny. Being marked by, as I say, South American and European butchers who were sometimes my height, 1.9 meters tall. He had this extraordinary low center of gravity, which made him very nimble, a bit like your boy, actually, nimble, so he could pivot around players.
Right.
And extraordinarily, Glenn, he was actually predominantly one-footed. He wasn't, you know, he was mostly left-footed, so he was all one-sided. The goal he scored that you mentioned, everyone talks about the hand of God, but the second goal he scored against England was voted the goal of the century by FIFA. Now, everyone's seen the goal, but firstly, he picks up the ball in his own half. He has his back to the attacking goal. I get goosebumps talking about it. He pivots like a ballerina and shakes off 2-3 defenders in that pivot alone. And then he drags the ball behind him and he's only just started. He's still inside his own half. He beats 3 players on this mazy dribble. The ball never moves further than about 2 or 3 centimetres from his foot. Okay. He jabs the foot like a woodpecker. Jab, 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 jab. There's never been a player that had such a beautiful affection and love for the football itself like Maradona.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he beats the 3 players like it's nothing and he scores the goal. But the thing that you have to imagine and put into context is he scored on this pitch in South America, in Mexico, called the Azteca. They were bogs, those pitches. They were quagmires.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, they were dreadful. They're not like the carpets they play on now.
Yeah.
And you know, if you have an old backyard, you would replace squares of turf.
Right.
That's how they used to do it. So your foot would sink in one square, then it would rise in another square. So he was playing on these quagmires. He scores the goal of the century. That's the first thing. The second thing is they didn't. You could foul players in a way you can't today. Mm-hmm. So he was hacked and butchered and kicked. Mm-hmm. Here's a stat for you, right? Here's a stat. No player has been fouled more in a World Cup than him. In the 1986 World Cup, he was fouled 53 times. There is a picture of him, Glenn, famous picture. People have it framed on their walls. This little guy, and there's five Belgians running towards him, surrounding him, like henchmen. It's just the definitive image of that World Cup.
And that's because they knew that if they didn't contain him in some way, he was going to score.
Gary Lineker said that Gary Lineker played for England famously and played in that match. He said, you never what they call man-marked. You never man-marked Maradona. That is right. Glenn, you're going to stay with Maradona. Because A, you couldn't. You wasn't good enough. And B, what if he beat you? Which he invariably would. You'd have the whole pitch. Okay, there's too many stories, but let me just give you some. Let me just give you some because they're just so funny and so brilliant. First thing is, he had this thing with the ball that famously the Argentina manager once said, the ball is your best friend. It stays with you at all times. I want you to love the ball. I want you to sleep with the ball. I want you to do this with the ball, blah, 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 blah. So he took him literally at this, right? In training, in breakfast before during the 82 World Cup, Maradona came into the hotel from the lift lobby juggling a football, barefooted. Walks across the lift lobby, barefooted, juggling a football. He sits down at breakfast. He goes to the buffet table, gets his food while he's still juggling the ball on his left foot, right, making this point to the teammates. He sits down, he starts eating his breakfast while he's juggling the ball on his left foot. Anybody who's ever kicked a football in their life will know how extraordinarily otherworldly difficult this is.
Yeah.
And the manager goes, see, that's what you do. That's what you do. You live, sleep, eat, breathe, make love to that football.
Yeah, yeah.
The same manager basically said, 1990, the Argentina manager, Carlos Bilardo, at that time said, who's your starting lineup? He said, Maradona and 10 others. It's true. Another story, there's so many. Gary Lineker said that the England striker said he played with him in a exhibition game, rest of the world team. I remember the game as a kid. Now, anyone who's ever played football or anyone who understands sport or physics or gravity or balance, just think about what I'm about to tell you, because there's not a human being on the planet who can do what I'm going to tell you. He said in the warm-up, and I've seen Maradona do this on YouTube. Go look on YouTube. He had this trick where he would boot the ball as high as he can, right? Cross his arms, do up his shoelaces, spin around, talk to someone, wait for it to come down and catch it on his foot. That's hard enough. Gary Lineker said he would boot the ball as high as he could. When it came down, he would boot it back up again.
Mm.
He did this, Glenn, 13 times in a row.
Wow.
That's already hard enough. The next part, I'm going to tell you, no human being could do this. I don't even think Lionel Messi could do it. In the entire time he's booting it up 13 times, as high as he can, he never moved more than 3 paces in any direction, either backwards or forwards.
Unbelievable.
Gary Lineker went back. He was playing for Barcelona then. Gary Lineker went back to the Barcelona team and said, you won't believe what I saw Maradona do, right? So they went out on the training pitch, Barcelona, in the late 80s, one of the best teams in the world. The most they could manage was three times in the air. And they were running around like lunatics because, as anybody knows, if you boot a ball in the air, you're running left, you're running right, you're dealing with the wind, you're dealing with the... He did it 13 times, as high as he could, and never moved more than 3 paces. There will never be another footballer like Maradona when it comes to this blessed skill that he had with the ball. Last point I'll make, I mean, there's so many things I could say.
Yeah.
There's only Diego. Messi has Ronaldo. Mm. You can't put into context what that means. Straight away, there's a competition, there's a rivalry. you know, Messi does this, Ronaldo must do that.
Yeah.
Borg had McEnroe. Sampras had Agassi. Tiger Woods had Phil Mickelson. You know, if you go through, Chris Evert had Martina Navratilova. Mm. If you go through the greatest athletes in the history of the game or sport, Sebastian Coe had Steve Ovett. Carl Lewis had Ben Johnson. You know, if you go through any sport in history, there's a relationship.
Yeah,
there's a rivalry, you know. Formula One and Ford and Ferrari and so on. It was just Maradona. He had nobody. He was in a different stratosphere. Nobody got close to him. He went to Napoli, played in Naples. Napoli had never won Serie A. No Southern Italian league team had ever won the league championship, right? The Scudetto. It had never been done. The rich northern powerhouses had the monopoly. And all of the politics, right, that goes back hundreds of years, the northern powerhouses of Italy, right?
Sure.
And the south of Garibaldi and Sicily and the history, right? So there was a real history there. Maradona walks into the middle of this, 1987, and he wins the Scudetto twice. They never won it before. They have never won it since. One man effectively won the league title on his own. 1986, he did exactly the same with the World Cup. I get goosebumps. He played in a good side, but they weren't a great side. They were a good side.
Yeah.
Brazil, Pelé, 1970, played arguably in the greatest team of all time, of which Pelé was the best player. Argentina were an average team. They were nobody's favourites to win the 86 World Cup. He won the World Cup almost on his own. He won the league title in Italy almost on his own. No player's ever done it.
Mm.
No player will do it again. And that is why an 11-year-old Neil Humphreys in 1986, and I get emotional thinking about it, the theme of that particular World Cup was a song by Queen. Do you remember the song, It's a Kind of Magic?
Yeah.
Right? It became the theme of that World Cup. I'm getting goosebumps again. It was montage after montage after montage of Maradona beating six players, doing things that no human being had done with a football, spinning, pirouetting, the grace, the balance, the elegance, the pure joy. I was in that back garden in a poor housing estate in East London, day after day after day, like almost every kid on the planet, singing that song out loud.
Right.
It's a kind of magic. It's a kind of magic. Trying and failing to be Maradona, and that's his legacy.
Fantastic. What happened? What was his fall from grace? Well, you know, we know the story about cocaine and drugs and excesses. Let's put it in a broad category. Was it just because he was rich and famous, and being a poor kid that just got away from him? Do we know what's the? I mean, I'm not expecting you to know personally.
No, but what is lots of people? The tones have been written on it.
And
great documentaries. Yeah. Look, I don't want to be an amateur psychologist, but I'm always drawn, like many people, both as a writer and a fan, to the floor geniuses, whether it's George Best or Andre Agassi or John McEnroe. I think we all are. John Daly in America, I used to like for no other reason than it's John Daly, right?
Yeah.
He's a flawed genius. Maybe not a genius, but a flawed pro. The thing about Diego Maradona is I don't think you can have one without the other. I don't think you can have Diego the footballer without Maradona the flawed man, because everything was too excess. And you see this a lot. And I'm not gonna sit here and pretend he had bipolar or anything like that. But this idea that it's all or nothing with Maradona. He trained harder than anybody, and then after the match, he would party harder than anybody.
Mm.
And Glenn, he was in the worst place to do that in Naples. He was in the home of Italian mafia.
Yeah.
They controlled everything. They essentially had a control of the club. So he got in with the Italian mafia, for heaven's sake, who would provide him with cocaine quite happily. This has been well documented. And all he had to do was turn up for a few photo ops with Giuseppe and Pepe and Paolo and whatever from this uncle and that uncle. And the cocaine and the women and nothing was too much trouble. Then he started to realize that he was being invited to parties he shouldn't have been invited to, with drug dealers and this and that. And then he was in.
Yeah.
They were essentially blackmailing him because they had everything. They had photographs.
Yeah.
They had women that they
Once
were supplying
you're in,
him
you're
with.
In, right?
They had the drugs they were giving him. So he was on that slippery slope. And he tried over the years, whether it was with his weight, alcohol, drugs. But everything with Diego Maradona was to the limit. Everything was to the limit. His football was to the limit. His drug taking was to the limit. His lifestyle, his women was to the limit. I don't honestly think Diego Maradona could live any other way. And if you could have asked him any regrets, I can probably say, because he has said, none whatsoever. He lived life 100 kilometers an hour every day of his life.
Now, he passed away just after his 60th birthday. Yeah. His 60th was in August, I believe. What was his impact or his legacy as a coach? You know, after he left, and then he started working with young kids and older people as well.
Not good. Not good. He was never.
We see that often, right? Somebody who's brilliant at doing something is not necessarily brilliant at coaching others to do it.
I think you've kind of inadvertently answered it there, which is I'm trying to think aloud. There was Franz Beckenbauer, who won the World Cup as a player and a captain and a manager. I believe he's the only one to do that for Germany. But there are very, very few examples of really successful managers who are also successful players. Zinedine Zidane at Real Madrid, maybe. But when you look at Arsene Wenger, Alex Ferguson, not Pep Guardiola, Jose Mourinho, none of them were good footballers. None of them. Average. Jurgen Klopp is a very good example. Very average footballer. Pep Guardiola is one of the rare exceptions.
Yeah.
To simplify a very complex discussion, I remember Glenn Hoddle, one of the all-time great England players, became England coach. And there's a famous training session where he said to a player, look, why can't you just do this? And he demonstrated it. And the player just couldn't do it because he wasn't the player that Glenn Hoddle was. And sometimes the best artists, I'm simplifying a lot here, sometimes the best artists don't necessarily make the best teachers.
Sure.
Because an artist would just say, just do that. I'm Picasso. Why can't you just do?
Natural ability to just whatever.
Da Vinci will say, "You want to paint Mona Lisa? Yeah. Just paint Mona Lisa." And also, Diego Maradona was temperamental, and you know all the rest of it. And he couldn't quite shake off his baggage outside of the game. I don't think he ever completed a full season at any club he managed.
Oh, is that right?
I think that's true. And look, he was famously Argentina manager in 2010, and it was great for the spectacle. He was on the sidelines jumping around and doing everything. But as a coach, I don't. He was an inspirational figure more than he was ever a coach. Mm. But arguably, he was easily the greatest player of his generation. And for what he achieved and from where he came from and the fact that he did it single-handedly, he was an otherworldly being. Nobody treated a football with such reverence. And the last thing I'll say, go on YouTube after this. Type in, I'm sure you've seen it already, type in Diego Maradona warm-up. Have you seen it?
I haven't.
Go show Maxi afterwards.
Yeah.
It's, again, the goosebumps are back. Joy. It's just joyful. He's doing this warm-up for Napoli. And all the players are running around him and they're stretching hamstrings and they're doing this. And there's a song in the background playing Life is Life at the stadium. He's dancing, Glenn, while he's training.
Yeah, I see it now.
And he's flipping the ball on his shoulder and he's dropping it on his head and he's doing it in time with the music. And he has the crowd in raptures.
Yeah. It's the semi-final for the UEFA Cup in 89.
Semi-final. And he's like he's playing with his kids on the beach. And he's bouncing it off one shoulder and he's bouncing it off the other shoulder.
Around. His shoelaces are untied.
And he's doing that thing again where he's booting it in the air and catching on his foot and he's spinning. And he's joyful. I have watched that clip, Glenn, every day this week.
And I think that that sense of
joy.
Right? That's a great word.
Joy.
Because people that are so good at that, there is that sense of joy in them doing.
And I don't and I loathe to be like my father and that generation who says, in my day. But when I watch that, and I do think professional football, soccer, has become so corporate and so cynical and occasionally so joyless.
Well, there's so much money involved.
It's because of the billions involved. It's the richest sport on the planet. And everyone's arguing on the time. All the pundits, because they've got to self-generate publicity and content and viral clips. And so pundits are constantly screaming at each other. Just watch the clip. He's playing like every boy.
Heading the ball.
Every boy will watch that girl, boy and girl, will watch that and just feel the joy exuding from every pore. That is what sport should be in its essence. Just joyful.
Mm. Diego Maradona, 60 years old when he passed away just the other day. Thanks, Neil, for putting that all into perspective with us. Great comments.
Wonderful stuff.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.